Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Bean. In this show, my co-host James Tapeblade-Grayling and I break down nearly 1 month of Avalanche hockey. We also discuss whether Chris Stewart should be dropping the gloves, Alex Simmons' bad attitude, Jose Theodore's triumphant return to Pepsi Center, and we tell yet another Denver Post writer to shut their hole. Those topics and much more Avalanche stuff coming up in episode number 59 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, JV. Back again after about a month off. Well, it wasn't off. We're always working, but by we, I mean my partner, James Tapeblade-Grayling, is here as always. Good morning, James.
Good morning. How are you?
He's up, and some people on Twitter didn't think he'd make it up, and he's peppy. We've been talking for a little bit. We're good to go.
I have coffee grounds, grinding them into my eyes with my palms to wake up, but I'm
and
here.
It's working. It's working.
I may fall asleep in the middle. Who knows? I'm here for
you. If you guys hear some snoozing or you hear me like clap into the mic, there you go. James no longer in Chicago, in Norfolk, Virginia now.
Lovely Norfolk, Virginia.
Outstanding. A great time of year to be in Norfolk.
Home of the AHL Norfolk Admirals.
Norfolk, Virginia. Good morning. All right. Plenty to cover. It's been a while. I can explain. I explained it in my last show. Yeah. Got a lot of games to cover. We're going to weave everything we're going to talk about, all of our topics, into the game recaps, and we'll go from there. Jersey numbers first. Philippe Dupuis, number 59 for the Avalanche.
Philippe Dupuis.
I know that's your official Dupuis chant. I still like that guy. He and Malden are sweet. I mean, I love what they've brought, and it's good to know you have guys like that that you can call up when the other 15 guys that are hurt can come back. But 12 games played in number 59, one assist. He's played pretty well this season as well. His first NHL goal, currently wearing number 11. James is thinking about getting one of his jerseys. I like that idea.
I am. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sold yet, but, yeah,
all right.
It is still the, winter sale. So there's still some deals to be had on some minor league jerseys out there
through the 17th. So you got another week about, I picked up my jerseys from the sale. Another blueberry that would fit me. Wes O'Neill. Nobody cares who Wes O'Neill is, but I don't care. And I got a Lake Erie Monsters, my first minor league jersey, James. Oh, no. I have some Iowa Stars jerseys, but my first from the Avalanche organization. So we'll have to get together and compare. Who do you have again? Mark McCutcheon?
Wyman.
And you have another Lake Erie.
Yeah, I do have McCutcheon also, but it's I have a Wyman Lake Erie Monsters and a McCutcheon, but that's a Reebok Edge 1.0. So it's the older material, very hot jersey. I don't know how those guys skated in those things.
That's why they hated them. I believe my O'Neill's a 2.0. And they use the same jersey, I believe, all season long. Either that or the players are allowed to keep a set of them or something like that. I learned something new this week as well, talking to my guys at Denver Athletic, is that the Avalanche make a set to keep as well. They get to keep a white set. I never thought that was they make like five. Well, they make three sets of each color. Two sets of the alternate. They have one for the final fan appreciation night, and they make another set for the team to keep. Nice. So a lot of jerseys running around out there.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I'll have some blog posts coming up about those. Brian White also played for the Avalanche in 98-99, played two games, did nothing. So I don't expect anybody to remember him. And also Brandon Yip. Made his debut in 2009, 2010, 32 games, played 11 goals, 8 assists, 19 points. In the playoffs, he also played all six games, had 2 goals and 2 assists. So wearing number 18 now, has his spot in the roster and wanted to go back to his, I guess it's his college number. So Brandon Yip. We're going with Philippe Dupuis since you like him so much, though, James.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like what the guy brings to the team. And, you know, just watching him in training camp, he had a good vision for the ice, you know, and yeah, that's just something that you can't get overnight. So,
yeah, I like him too. And like I said, we'll talk about Greg Malden in one of the game recaps, but I like those two. They brought a lot to the team and have kind of allowed the team to keep going, you know, as they battle through all these injuries, including one more last night. Kyle Quincy's out with a shoulder and Milan Hayduk out with a groin, and they still can work through it and beat the Capitals. So, Let's keep going. Let's go all the way back. Game number 17, Monday, November 15th against the Blues. The Avalanche win this one 6-3. The scoring starts early, 56 seconds in, and the Ryan Wilson whipping boy chants and rants begin. Really bad pinch to start off this the break that Steen got. Ryan Wilson was actually the last guy up the ice as the Blues score on Peter Budaj. John Michael Lyles, his second at 5:05 from Greg Malden and Chris Stewart. And here's where my I don't think I love him, but he was just entertaining, was Daryl Ray. And James and I have talked a little bit about versus commentating. It is what it is. But on that goal when Lyles scored, Yaroslav Halak regurgitated some rubber. So I thought that was funny. We'll get back to him here in a second. 12:55, Lyle scores his second of the period, his third of the year, from Ryan O'Byrne. And 14:58, Paul Stastny, his seventh from Lyles and Stewart. 3-1, Avalanche going to the second period. 14:54 in the second period, Carlo Koliakovo. I just wanted to say that because it's fun to say. 3-2 Avs at that point. 16:03, Brandon Yip, his fifth from Matt Duchene and Milan Hayduk. David Jones at 16:20, his seventh. Paul Stastny, Adam Foote with the assists. And this one looked like Peter Forsberg. James, do you recall this goal? It's where he came in along the near side, kind of got Halak to drop and kind of double stack, and he went right over his shoulder. And I don't know. It just reminded me of Peter Forsberg.
Mm. There was a recent Dallas, I think it was Dallas Stars goal that reminded me of Peter Forsberg with the you know, skating to the left of the goalie and stretching out to the right, kind of
quick spin. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the almost the exact same goal that they have on the postage stamp.
Yes. Oh, that one.
Yeah.
There's a couple that are very Peter Forsberg. Matt Duchene will do them every once in a while. He'll come around the net, you know, on the backhand, and then flip really quickly around to the forehand and try and beat the goalie up high. And Forsberg's the only one I've seen that can do it consistently. So it is the Peter Forsberg. And that little, I believe they call that move on the breakaway, the leave behind, where he does that little thing and just leaves the puck and taps it in. So Peter Forsberg, Daryl Ray on this one, elevation and execution in equal measure. And he also says during the highlight, this is lovely. So he is funny. He tries a little hard every once in a while, but I kind of enjoyed it. It was entertaining. And the Avalanche take a 5-2 lead in the third period. Brad Boyes, 7:26 into the third period, scores a power play goal. A pretty toe drag, which makes Ryan Wilson look stupid. And everybody starts riding Ryan Wilson a little bit more. And then Kevin Porter, a power play goal, his third of the season, 13:48 from Ryan O'Reilly and Ryan Wilson at, 13:48. The third period, the Avalanche win this one 6-3. Peter Budaj, 27 saves. And like I said, Ryan Wilson, you know, I don't know. I don't like to ride the guys because I've never done what they've done. But Ryan Wilson having some difficulties at that point, and pretty soon after this he was benched. And then a triumphant comeback last night. We'll get to that. Yeah. Game number 17th, Monday, November 15th, the Avalanche beat the Blues 6-3. All right, game number 18, Wednesday, November 17th, the Avalanche against the Sharks at Pepsi Center. They win this one 4-3. Be forewarned in this one, you're going to get, I don't know, what would you say, scolded by Mark Kisla. We'll talk about that in a second. Early goal again given up by the Avalanche. Logan Couture scores his seventh at 42 seconds. And then at 18:27, Kevin Shattenkirk, the Wonder Kid, a power play goal, his first career NHL goal from Milan Hayduk and John Michael Lyles. It was brought up last night. Kevin Shattenkirk never had 1 point when he played in Lake Erie. How about that? The kid's here to stay, obviously. There's no way he's sent him anywhere. But he's one of those guys. He plays in the minors, and he does okay, I guess, well enough to get called up. But then you get some talent around him, and he just shines. And you don't see that very often. Because those guys don't play in the minor leagues very often, but
well, the guy was, you know, the thing with him is he was the captain of BU of Boston University Terriers, and that's a hell of a team right there. And then, you know, he wasn't in Lake Erie that long. When you saw him in training camp, he was floating around a little bit. He was certainly playing like he was still in, you know, on a college team and not in an NHL team. And, you know, I think it didn't take long to really shock him into the reality of, hey, guess what? You're in the big leagues now. You know, it's time to step it up a little bit, time to maybe turn up the speed a little bit. And he has, you know, there's nothing more you could really ask for the guy, I think.
No, it's been exciting to see him. Even some whispers of him being a Calder nominee, Calder winner. So you have to respect that. It's been fun to watch him. I still find it unbelievable he didn't have one single point in Lake Erie, but good for him. He lost his buddy to a trade, which we'll talk about here a little bit later. But he and Colby Cohen had been playing against and with each other for a really long time, and now he's gone. So I don't know, I can't imagine that can be that much fun, but it is what it is. In the second period, 109 in, Dan Boyle scores his third in at 9:14. Mike Moore scores his first. The Avalanche are down 3-0 at that point. And everybody's just, was it 3-0? Yeah. The Avalanche 3-1. Are just, was it 3-1? Oh, yeah, Kevin Shattenkirk's goal. Sorry, notes. building's quiet. There's no energy. And for good reason, the Avalanche are getting pounded at this point. They're outshot in the first period 13-9. And then the second period, they're outshot 15-3. So I'm not quite sure what Mark Kisel would like the fans to do. But it's a midweek game against a West Coast team with not a ton of fans in Colorado. And that's what you get sometimes. In the third period, 8:38 in, Chris Stewart, his 11th from John Michael Lyles. And at 14:49, Paul Stastny, his 8th from Chris Stewart and David Jones. This one reminded me of Joe Sakic. This is the shot that really nobody saw go in except for Stastny and maybe one other guy on the ice. I forgot who was in net for the Sharks that night, but it beat whoever that was right over their left shoulder from the near boards and hit kind of the back. Yeah, Nitti Mäki. It hit the stanchion in the back and popped out really quickly, but what a great goal. The Avalanche battled back and tied at 3 in the third period, and then Kevin Porter scores his 4th of the season from Scott Hannon in overtime. Brian O'Reilly also run down in this one. James, did you see the celebration in this one?
I didn't.
I've got it. I have it. For those of you that haven't seen it, I have it. I was just with my flip video camera. I was taking a video from my seat, and I got right when Porter got the puck and he scored, and everybody goes crazy. And everybody's coming off the bench is moving one direction. Ryan O'Reilly was on the ice with Porter as a forward and got caught on the backside of the celebration. And it was, 15 guys running into one kind of lonely Ryan O'Reilly, and he got run over in this one. It was pretty funny, but check it out. It's on my Facebook fan page. And if you go back to YouTube or any of the video highlights, you'll see it as well. Pretty funny stuff, but the Avalanche battle back and win this one 4-3 in overtime. Lyles 2 assists, Chris Stewart, a goal assist and 4 shots, and Paul Stastny, a goal and 5 shots. Mark Kisla, Denver Post writer after this one, scolds the fans, at the end of his column. Well, he basically says, he didn't even say you're missing a good thing. He just scolded everybody for not showing up and this and this and that. And then at the end he says, how does the Winnipeg Avalanche sound or something like that? Kind of, I don't know. I fell into the trap. I created a blog post with my reaction to his post that got, a ton of hits, which was great. That's exactly why I did it, right? That's why we have blogs, to get traffic. Yeah, I'm making a name for myself.
Look at me.
Right? Yes, exactly. No, I just needed a vent. And as long as I've been going to watch hockey here in Colorado, Denver is hockey town for a lot of people. So I don't know. James, I'm assuming you read the article.
Oh, yeah. And, I've been reading that article for the last couple of years. And good point. It's Denver Post, it's Denver Post search engine optimization. It's how they get hits. It's how they get attention in a way. It's you could pull out the same article over and over. It was, I think it was last year that Terry Fry actually stepped up to the plate and said, quit blaming the fans. And he put up a blog post, and it was basically, come on, we're sick. People are sick and tired of seeing the fans blamed all the time. He basically kind of went off on a rant that was pretty pointed and pointed at his own coworkers, and then it got taken down. I think I actually got a screen cap of it.
Cool.
That's the way the Denver Post rolls sometimes. They put something up and then take it right down if they're not too happy with it or if it's embarrassing at all.
Yeah, I would have swore that Kisla and Dater sat down and wrote, co-wrote that thing,
It looked exactly like the same old stuff. And, frankly, for me, I'm looking at it and going, the Avalanche have one of the lowest payrolls. They were completely invisible during the offseason, not even promoting the team. You wouldn't know that there was a team in Denver in the offseason if you weren't from there. It was absolutely ridiculous. And then everybody blames the fans, saying, why aren't you showing up? Why aren't you showing up? Yeah. Sometimes the fans, the only tool that the fans really have, and especially with an organization that doesn't pay a lot of attention directly to the fans, is to vote with their wallets. And if the fans aren't happy, not going to the game is going to should be able to get that message across.
Ask the Denver Broncos about that. That's exactly what happened to the Broncos. The attendance started to go down, and now their coach is gone. Keep going. Sorry.
Exactly. No, and that's the thing. That's and you know it's hard to look at it objectively and interpret it in you know in with the intent that the fans want. You know, it's you can't just say, hey, why aren't you guys showing up? But at the same time, if you want to talk, this is just a column. This was you know pure opinion and pure fodder as usual. If you want to actually be responsible and a responsible journalist, go talk to the fans. Go ask people why they aren't showing up. Go up to people and, you know, wearing Avs jerseys and say, hey, do you go to the games? If not, why? And if you're not going to do that, then quit yelling at the fans for not showing up.
And I guarantee you a lot of that feedback that they'll get from those fans is that it's too expensive. And I mean, it's easy for me to, you know, I don't have to bring a family. It's been me and my dad for a lot of years now, but taking a family to an Avalanche game is not feasible for most everybody. I mean,
no.
You know, the tickets, even where we are over $60 and we're in the third deck. And they've worked pretty hard to try and get your average sports fan into games. But, you know, if you look at the Colorado Crush, which used to be the arena football team, and also the Colorado Mammoth, the indoor lacrosse league team, they have great crowds, but the tickets are $10. And it's just not sports have never been that thing to where, you know, it's not a regular business. And the fact that once kind of demand goes down, the price goes down. It's just not going to happen that way. And the Avalanche have, you know, they've frozen ticket prices the last couple of years, but that's, you know, it's almost too late. They've lost the face of Denver sports in a Joe Sakic. And now that face is a Troy Tulowitzki for the Rockies or, who else have they been talking about? Carmelo Anthony, who's most likely gone here soon. So your average, the Avalanche aren't a team made for your average sports fan. They're made for a hockey fan because hockey fans will watch anything. And that's me. Mm-hmm. So I write from and speak from that perspective. But for the most part, I think everybody would complain about those ticket prices.
I just saw a deal online for I think it was a 40-inch Toshiba 1080p HDTV for $450. That's roughly 8 games in the not that expensive seats in the Pepsi Center. You know, those $60 seats that you're talking about. And for that money, you can get an HDTV and see 81 games for, you know, in HD and get almost as good get almost as good an experience because you actually get replays and you get, you know, which you don't often get at Pepsi Center.
No, I agree.
You know, your seats are a lot more comfortable. You can buy a 6-pack of beer, of good beer, for the price of one beer at the Pepsi Center.
That's true.
They wonder why people don't want to show up. Well, you know, I'd be voting with my wallet at that point and saying, you know, I can stay home. I can see highlights from other games. I can see other games. I can do a heck of a lot for the money that you're paying at the Pepsi Center.
Yeah. I've done that same thing with golf. I've sat at a hole and it's good to see it in person maybe once or twice, but seeing the whole thing. And also when I was in Carolina, we sat down in the third row. You just can't. It just wasn't what I was used to seeing. I couldn't see a lot of the action. It was great to be down low, see how hard the guys hit each other, see how large they are. But, man, it was tough to see everything, especially when the puck was on the far end because we were just to the right of the Avalanche goal. And so I ended up looking up the scoreboard to see most of the action. So I'd be interested. We also sat near some people who had season tickets from the very beginning from McNichols Arena who gave them up this season. They let the Avalanche know that they were going to give them up and never heard from the organization again. That's when you can try, I guess, as an organization, if you care about that type of thing, is get in touch with those people and say, you know, hey, what's up? Can we work something out? Can we help you? Was it something, you know, we said or did? I don't know. It's kind of a rough time for the organization, and it doesn't help that the media jumps all over the fans and says, you know, where have you been? And it wasn't even if you're going to write a post like that, it'd be like, here's what you're missing. Check this out. Instead of scold, scold, scold. And then before you know it, they're going to be gone. So enjoy them while they're here. You know, I just didn't, especially that last, like you said, I've read this before. I've read it in tweets. I've read it in blog posts. I've read it in the editorials and all kinds of stuff that people write. But, when he brings up the team's going to move before you know it, that kind of flipped my switch. So I kind of fell into his trap.
Yeah,
I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. My bottom line is that the Avalanche have never been that fan friendly, but the fans are expected to be Avalanche friendly. And it's a two-way street. We can't just sit back and wait for the Avalanche to catch up with where the fans are and what the fans expect. Every other sports franchise around town and a lot of sports franchises across the nation are opening their doors a little bit more, being a little more fan friendly, understanding the competition that's out there, and the Avalanche expect the fans to do all the work. Well, that just doesn't fly anymore. So.
And it's never been a reality that this organization has known, because they've always had these, all these Hall of Famers and future Hall of Famers. So the team has done all the advertising that's ever been needed as far as all that goes. People would go because they see a top-notch product who's competitive every year. And this is a new reality for the fans. It's a new reality for the organization, too. So I think there's some growing pains on both sides. And a lot of times the media here does not help that. So. There we go. Just thought we'd get that out there.
So any give it thoughts? A break, Denver Post. Give it a break.
Yeah, it gets old quick. All right. Game number 18, Wednesday, November 17th. The Avalanche beat the Sharks in overtime, 4-3. Good comeback, by the way. Those that were there, they were loud. Mm-hmm. All right. Game number 19, Friday, November 19th, against the New York Rangers. The Avalanche win this one 5-1. I was going to wear my Chris Drury jersey, but he's still hurt, so... I forgot who I went with that game. But anyways, Craig Anderson returns after 10-game absence with his knee injury. No scoring in the first period, but some early kick saves with that bad knee with that same leg let you know he's okay. He looked good. Scoring started in the second period. The Avalanche go off. Minute 4, David Jones, his 8th. This was after, let's see. And then Matt Duchene was cross-checked by Rangers forward Ruslan Fedotenko. That went uncalled, and that made Duchene angry. And you don't want to make Matt Duchene angry. 7:21, Kevin Porter, his 5th from Matt Duchene and Ryan Wilson. 12:27, Matt Duchene, his 3rd of the season from Scott Hannon. Ooh, he's a point machine. And Henrik Lundqvist was pulled after that one in 15:07. Kevin Shattenkirk, his 2nd of the season from Scott Hannon and Matt Duchene. Scott Hannon, geez, multiple points, yeah. And we trade him away. We'll get your thoughts on that later. Third period, 4:58, Daniel, Chronicles of Winnick. I'll use yours first. How's that? Is that cool? All right. Chronicles of Winnick on the breakaway, his 5th of the season from Greg Malden. And then at 6:03, Craig Anderson loses the shutout. Derek Steppen scores his 4th. Henrik Lundqvist, 13 saves on 16 shots. Marty Baron comes in and stops 8 of 10. Craig Anderson, 25 saves on 26 shots. In his kind of comeback, Matt Duchene, a goal and 2 assists after he gets cross-checked in the face. And Scott Hannon, 2 assists, like I said. Attendance in this one, 16,002. So, Mark Kisla. Mm-hmm. It was a Friday game against a team that has a lot of followers from the East Coast. Imagine that. The crowd was better. But the Avalanche win on November 19th, 5-1 against the Rangers. Game 20, Saturday, November 20th, against the Stars at Dallas. The Avalanche lose this one in a shootout, 4-3. Milan Hejduk, a power play goal in the first. Hejduk, a power play goal in the second. David Jones, his 9th from Chris Stewart and John Michael Isles at 5:33. Early 3-goal lead, very, very dangerous in the NHL. Tough to keep stepping on the gas, but also tough to keep the opposition from building up some momentum, which is exactly what they did. Adam Burrish at 13:33, Brennan Morrow at 13:56. James Neal in the third period, his 8th on the power play to tie the game up. And then in the shootout, the Avalanche win this one. Chris Stewart scored, Mike Ribeiro then scored, and then Kevin Porter, his 3rd straight game-deciding goal. You can't give him credit for a game winner in the shootout, but he does it. So Kevin Porter, nice and clutch, and the Avalanche win this one. Saturday, November 20th against the Stars, 4-3 in the shootout. All right, James, here we go.
Kind of notable about who wasn't actually in goal, which would be Andrew Raycroft. Considering the last time these teams.
He was not. He got lit up last time. I was listening to our old show, and you were in rare form. That was outstanding. But Saturday, November 20th, the Avalanche beat the Stars 4-3 in a shootout. Game number 21, Wednesday, November 24th at, I don't know what they call the arena. Is it still GM Place? It's whatever. In Vancouver, the Avalanche lose this one 4-2.
Rogers,
you're arena? Right, you're right, you're right. They change them every year. I don't know. I went to it when it was GM Place a couple seasons ago, but... Kevin Bieksa.
Rogers is going to wind up actually owning just about everything in the league.
That's right.
There's that rumor that they're going to make a bid for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
doing some work. They're just like, let's just buy everything. We can just, and then rename the country.
I think my cell, I think my Canadian cell phone is from Rogers.
There you go. Sure it there it is. Let's see. First period, 10:32. Kevin Bieksa, a tip on a delayed penalty. And then after the first period, Craig Anderson out with a groin injury. Adam Foote out with a leg injury as well. They were both out, I believe, three games, and they both came back in Carolina when I was there. Lyles in the second period, his fourth on the power play from Kevin Shattenkirk. Milan Hayduk at 5:05. And then Daniel Sedin, his 13th of the season at 10 minutes of the second period. Here's my note on that one. I am sick of seeing that high slot tip from the Canucks. You know it's coming, and you still can't stop it. That sucks. I'm sick of seeing it, but it works. And I kind of wish the Avalanche would have something similar. Detroit does. Avalanche, I don't know. I guess you have to have the personnel. All right, and then in the third period, here's the controversial goal of the podcast. Ryan Kesler scores his 10th at 3:52. I believe this goal went up in the air. Puck goes up in the air above the crossbar. Tambellini kind of swings at it and hits Peter Budaj in the face with a stick. And there's some different kind of viewpoints as far as what happened to the puck after that, whether Tambellini got a piece of it, whether it rolled down Budaj's back and into the net, whether Budaj's stick hit it in. But my issue was with it was when it comes to pro sports, I'm really big on watching the players, and the players will tell you exactly what happened. Tambellini acted as if he touched this puck. And if he had, that should either be a high stick or it should either be a high sticking penalty on him for hitting Peter Budaj in the face with a stick, or it should have been a high stick and a disallowed goal. So, James, what do you got?
What I seem to recall was that he hit him in the head. He hit Budaj in the head. Budaj's head, you know, Budaj lurched back from getting smacked in the head with a stick and then knocked the puck in himself. Technically, it's a goal and a penalty because, you know, if he actually hit the puck and Budaj in the head, then he would have actually, you know, then that would have stopped play. But because it was
right,
it didn't actually hit, you know, he didn't actually touch the puck. It didn't stop play. But you know what? It was stupid. It was absolutely stupid. There's no reason that should have gone been a goal. To me, that's a common sense one. And if they could actually see it, because, you know, that's if a goaltender gets screened and the puck goes in, you go, oh, the goaltender got screened. If a ref gets screened and didn't see, you know, a stick hit, you know, a player, then everybody gets pissed off and it's not acceptable. But it's really easy to see these things in super slow-mo, you know, five camera shot, all of that.
Oh, absolutely.
But boy, that just shouldn't have been a goal.
On a couple different levels. That's what it was. I swear with all the replays and everything like that, I see something I've never seen before pretty much almost every few games. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that before. But there was a couple different reasons why that goal shouldn't have counted, and it ended up counting. I'm not sure because maybe the initial call was goal, so they had to stick with it. You can't review a high sticking penalty. You can review a high sticking play on the puck, especially when it goes in. But I mean, if it's a penalty and a goal, the penalty came first, and the puck. I don't know. And then you think about guys that direct the puck into their own net. Tambellini acted as if he touched the puck, and then they scored it as he didn't. That was kind of my biggest issue, but.
I think, you know, for me, it's just, you know, it was a circus goal,
and it was.
You know, but and it seems like about every couple weeks there's just some weird circus goal that happens, and you wonder how do these things keep happening? But
yeah, it's, you know, sports.
That's just the way it goes sometimes.
It is. So we'll be all sad.
I'm not happy with it, but hey, you know, I'm not happy about it, but hey, what are you going to do? That's, you know,
nothing.
You come back and you score another dang goal, you know, and that's it.
We'll complain about it on the podcast. That's what we'll do. That's how we roll exactly. Right there.
I blame the fans.
Yeah, we'll blame the fans on it. Matt Duchene, his fourth from Lyles, and yep, at 6:46 of the third period. It was looking good at that point, and then 13:07, Alex Burrow scores his second. At 13:07, the Avs fail to take care of their puck in their own zone. That happens as well. Game 21, Wednesday, November 24th, the Avalanche lose at Vancouver 4-2. All right, Thursday, November 25th. This was Thanksgiving for those who live in the United States. Avalanche loses 1-3-2. I gotta admit, I didn't watch this when I was doing family stuff. And at the very, very end of the game, I turned it on with about, you know, like 40 seconds left in the game, and it was 2-2. I was like, all right, cool. You know, I could see a little overtime. I just wanted to watch the rest of the game. I knew it was on. I usually start it over and just watch the whole thing through. And then Edmonton scores with, let's see, what is it? Oh, they scored with 29 seconds left, and that was the game. I don't think there's any need to talk about a whole bunch more. Jordan Eberle and Taylor Hall, two really big draft picks for the Oilers, connect for the game-winning goal. And Mike Haynes, who's on Altitude Sports and Entertainment, compares the two to Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier. All of a sudden, I was like, "Wow, Mike,
they are wearing Oilers."
Yeah, and that's about as far as he can go with that one. I was like, yeah. "I wonder what Oilers fans would say about this one." I thought that was interesting. So Matt Duchene in this game, a goal and assist. Kevin Porter, six shots on net, and Paul Stastny in minus three. Those happen.
Martin Gerber was in.
He was
got an assist. Might as well. Why don't we compare him with some 80s goalies for the
Grant Fuhr
Oilers while we're at it?
Grant Fuhr, ladies and gentlemen.
Martin Gerber is just like Grant Fuhr. Yeah.
I appreciate Mike Haynes. I appreciate it for his perspective, but that one I just couldn't look past. I was like, really? These guys have why don't you give them 15 years playing together, have them win a couple cups, put up some Hall of Fame numbers, and then start talking about those two. As compared to Gretzky and Messier, but it was what it was. Thursday, November 25th, the Avalanche lose at Edmonton 3-2. Game 23, Saturday, November 27th, the Avalanche demolish the Minnesota Wild 7-4, and it wasn't as close as it sounded either. Paul Stastny started the scoring early, his ninth of the year, from Kevin Shattenkirk and Milan Hayduk. And Stastny on this goal, he's that guy on the Avalanche and one of those guys in the league that you cannot leave him any extra space as a goaltender, because he shot this from a really, really bad angle and ended up beating Nicholas Backstrom. It was a heck of a goal. 14-18 on Team Yetinen. Beautiful, like, bunt. You see the guys do this every once in a while. Brandon Yip had one a couple games ago, but the puck is about waist high, and he just redirects it waist high into the net. What a great goal. And then Matt Cullen scores a power play goal at 19:40 the first period. The Avalanche are down 2-1, and then they go crazy in the second period. 2:44, Greg Malden, 7:18, Milan Hayduk, 7:50, Greg Malden again, Kevin Shattenkirk, his fourth at 9:29, and then here's some more controversy. James and I will talk about this. Kyle Brodziak at 14:22 scores. He scored his goal at 14:22. And speaking of Brodziak, then Chris Stewart and Brodziak get into a fight, and Chris Stewart breaks his left hand on Brodziak's face or head or something like that. James, should Chris Stewart be fighting? Go.
I don't think we have a choice. I don't think anybody's going to be able to say, "Hey, Chris, quit fighting." But I think that's just part of his game, and I don't think it's going to stop. Do I want to see a first liner, second liner fighting? No, but then again, every so often, your stars are going to have to drop the gloves. It happens. That's the way it goes. Hey, even Duchene had a fight. No, the team needs Stewart badly, but at the same time, it's unfortunate. But that's this is a league that has fighting in it. Hands get broken,
he's one of those guys. He seems like he has a switch too. And like you said early in your comment, you're not going to turn that switch off. You can ask him to not, but he got the building going. The Avalanche were up, 4-2 with that, or no, whatever it was. They were up by a bunch there. But, I mean, he was able to get his message across. He got the building going. He got his team going, obviously, too. It's unfortunate that he broke his hand. They really haven't been the same team after that, but they've also won without him as well. But he's got that switch that I really don't think – I think you'd be doing almost him a disservice to ask him to not fight, because it's always been part of his game. And as much as you don't want a first or a second line guy fighting, he's one that can, and he can do it very well, which makes him that much more unique to the organization and to the league. So I don't know. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on that, all the listeners out there. It's been pretty contested, and believe it or not, Adrian Dater believes that Chris Stewart shouldn't be fighting, but it's easy to say that now because he broke his hand. If he hadn't broken his hand, nobody says anything. Everybody's just like, yeah, that's what Chris Stewart does. Kind of an ongoing thing. We'll have to see what happens when he comes back.
Well, and also, do we have any real, fighters other than him and, David Krejci? But then again,
nope.
That's another compromise if you're putting him in the lineup. So
yep.
Pick your poison.
No, they don't. And they actually had a chance to put him in last night, and there was a rumor that because Hayduk was out, that Krejci was going to be in, and then they ended up dressing a seventh defenseman, which was smart because Quincy got hurt. But that shows you where David Krejci stands in the depth chart. But I don't know. It'll be an ongoing thing. It'll be interesting to see what Chris Stewart does when he comes back. Obviously, you don't want to fight, you know, when you have concussion issues, and you probably don't want to fight after you've broken your hand. But I don't know. Chris Stewart's one of those guys that probably wants to prove people wrong with that. So we'll see. An interesting conversation point, at least. In the third period, 5:03, David Jones, his 10th from Greg Maldon, and 6:49, Matt Duchene, his 6th from Greg Maldon. A couple other assists on those. Greg Maldon, 2 goals and 2 assists, and he outshines Sidney Crosby's hat trick to be the number one star in Puck Daddy. I thought that was pretty cool. There was, I think there was like 9 other games that night, and nobody else had 4 points besides Greg Maldon. So great for him. Just overall, David Jones, 1 goal and 5 shots. John Michael Lyles, 1 assist and 5 shots. Kevin Shattenkirk, 1 goal and 2 assists. Greg Maldon, 2 goals, 2 assists, and 5 shots. Milan Hayduk and Paul Stastny both with 1 goal and 1 assist, and Ryan Wilson with 2 assists. Man, as I look over this, everybody complains about Ryan Wilson's defense, but it seems like he's been chipping in on the offensive end pretty well. Jose Theodore comes in this game later after Backstrom gives up 30.
Shuts the door. Stops all two shots that he saw.
100%.
How could this team ever give up on Jose Theodore shutting the door against them? Man, that is a schooling. Oh, it was only 2 shots. Never mind.
That's my partner. That's awesome. The crowd boos him, though. It's not like I didn't get that one. Boo. Why? Why? What are you booing him for? He didn't do anything. He went to another team that wanted him and wanted to pay him what he and his agent thought he was worth. Anybody else in that arena would probably do the same thing. But, yeah, they booed him. Oh, well. Saturday, November 27th against the Wild, the Avalanche win this one at Pepsi Center, 7-4. Game 24, Tuesday, November 30th, against the Atlanta Thrashers. The Avalanche lose this one 3-2 in overtime. Trades before this game, between the last game and this game, Colby Cohen to the Bruins for defenseman Matt Hunwick, and James's boy, Scott Hannon, to the Capitals for forward Tomas Fleischmann. Mueller implications here. Some interesting stuff came out about Peter Mueller. He hasn't even skated since his concussion issues. They don't know what's up with him. He actually went to Boston to see the same guy Mark Savard went and saw with his concussion issues. So hopefully they can get that figured out, but not expecting him anytime soon. And part of the belief behind that move is Tomas Fleischmann is there to fill that void. But Tape Leg has some Scott Hannon thoughts. Go for it.
Scott Hannon's been, has been a bit of a whipping boy, but at the same time, the Capitals got him for a very good reason, and that's that they needed a shutdown defenseman, and that's exactly what Hannon is. We kind of expect almost every defenseman that comes through to be Rob Blake, you know, to have a bomb from the point and all. And I gave Hannon plenty of crap for, his shots on corner, and that's, he's not a dangerous guy offensively, but he was a good shutdown defenseman. I still keep going back to that picture of when he and Ryan Smith were signed, and standing up there with the hats on and big old smiles. And well, Ryan Smith isn't here and Hannon isn't here anymore. And it's so much for all that. I don't know. I think that I don't think that Hannon got a bad rap. I think that this is kind of one of those deals that's going to work out for both sides. But I do remember when I saw Hannon's first game with the Capitals on TV, and it was the first one I saw, which was against the Maple Leafs. And I looked at the boards, and I saw that Geico sign, that Geico ad in the corner, and I thought, oh, you poor ad, you're just going to get lit up.
Take that, heads up. Yeah.
But no, I don't blame Hannon for wanting to go either, because, he's really going to a team that has a good shot, a good contention, and probably more of a contender than the Avs are right now on paper, for as a cup contender. But, yeah. And also it's a lot easier travel schedule in the East than it is in the West.
That's true. And that'll be kind of a new reality for him as far as that goes, because he played in San Jose before that. But, I'm hoping, just like you said, that this works out for both. It just wasn't Hannon is what he is and didn't quite work out as far as his payroll. But I think for another team, it'll work out. I'm not quite sure if the Avalanche were trying to fill a forward need or trying to move a salary when they had the chance. You never know who initiates these trades anyways. But we'll kind of see. It was interesting to see him last night. I didn't notice him in the other jersey. Yeah, unless they showed him. But
Well, the Capitals did say that they've been trying to get after him for a little while and try and get, you know, make that move happen. And, you know, that's something that the Capitals have always needed. They've needed some better defense. Their number one, you know, shutdown guy is Tom Pody. And Tom Pody's been injured. But at the same time, Tom Pody is not, you know, he is not really a top two defenseman. And their other big defenseman is Mike Green, and he's mostly about the offense.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think that Hannon fills a really good role out there. It's like Brian Burke would say, you know, you need a trading partner, so he hopes that all trades work out for both sides.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, it's easy for him to say that now, wishing that the Kessel deal had worked out a little bit better right now. But hey,
yeah. You know. Well, we'll see. Good luck, Scott Hannon. Obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 10:41. Rich Peverly starts scoring for the Thrashers. His sixth of the season. No scoring in the second. Matt Duchene in the third period, 1:43 in, unassisted. David Jones at 10:10 scores his 11th from Shattenkirk and Hayduke. All right, and then at 13:48, Dustin Byfuglien scores his 10th of the season as a defenseman, an absolute missile. I don't know, man, this guy can flat play. He's gone from forward to defense. I don't know, they call him a big surprise. In Atlanta, he's changed I think he's changed the entire like atmosphere within their team, going from the Atlanta Thrashers, what they've always been known as, to a team that needs to be looked at on the schedule. And his shot is just ridiculously heavy and ridiculously hard. I like him a lot. He's flashy too, and the guy can do everything. So you got to give him credit. In overtime, 1:49, Anthony Stewart, his seventh of the season.
The wrong Stewart on the wrong team.
The wrong Stewie. Stewie scores, and it's the wrong one. Pretty soft goal by Peter Budaj, but those happen too. After the game, Mark Rycroft on Altitude Sports and Entertainment brings up Jesse Martin, who is the forward from University of Denver, who had his neck broken about a month ago. Really classy move here by the Thrashers. The Thrashers buy a suite in Pepsi Center for the game and invite any nurse and any doctor that helped Jesse in his kind of treatment and in his progress. Jesse Martin has a halo. He's wearing a halo brace, but he's also up and moving and talking. And I don't think he's going to play hockey again, but they said he's going to live a normal life, which is pretty amazing considering that he broke his neck. But the Thrashers buy a suite and invite any medical personnel that helped Jesse Martin in his medical adventures that he's had lately. And those medical people are the Thrashers guests at Pepsi Center that night. Super classy move. That's hockey culture, and that's why we like the game. So November 30th against the Thrashers, the Avalanche lose this one in overtime, 3-2. Game number 25, Friday, December 3rd at Carolina against the Hurricanes, and the Avalanche lose this one, 2-1. Andy's back after missing three games with a groin, and so is Adam Foote with his leg injury. The scoring doesn't start until the third period. Jeff Skinner, his eighth at 4:50. Milan Hayduke at 12:51, his ninth of the season, and that's where I made my television debut. James, did you see the video?
It was pretty funny. I also remember that you took a little guff for just sitting there and clapping rather than standing up like a real Avs fan would. But
every time the lady in front of me stood up, because it happened a little more often than it, like her seat would fold up and then catch my toes underneath it. I didn't want to be that fan, but I also, like, physically, it would have been really tough to get up and cheer like I did. But we were actually right next to the tunnel where the Avalanche get on and come off the ice. It's one of those buildings where the opposition has to skate across the ice. Got a good look at Joe Sacco after Brandon Sutter's winner at 1:16 of the third period. Sacco was pissed, and I think part of walking across the ice has to do with having to deal with the fans for a little bit longer rather than just kind of escaping to your locker room, and, man, he had some choice words under his breath. It was just kind of, it is what it is. And I guess Matt Hunwick gave up the puck. Like I said, we were sitting so low, it was tough to actually see exactly what happened. But yeah, I understand the guff, but you know, I'm glad that guy's head wasn't in my way. He was in my buddy Garrett's way. So my buddy Garrett didn't make it on television, but that's about as well as I could do. But
it was pretty funny.
Yeah, and I started to get the tweets and the people on Facebook saying, you were just on. So I did a blog post about it. I will link that again on the post for this show. But it was fun. Some of the training and equipment staff noticed my jersey right away and called me over and kind of looked at me and was like, Coachy, really? And I was like, yeah, it's one of the only guys that fits besides Foote, and his jerseys are more expensive. So It was fun. It was really interesting to get everybody's tweets, like I said, and the Facebook posts saying you were just on, and got some screenshots. So I thought that was pretty cool. Had a good time there. Friday, December 3rd at Carolina, the Avalanche lose this one 2-1. RBC Center, very loud. I've said that before, but got to give the fans credit. Game number 26, Saturday, December 4th at Tampa Bay. I'm not going to go through all 11 goals, but the Avalanche lose this one 6-5. And they actually come back a little bit, too. It was 6-3 in late in the third period. Brandon Yip scores his 6th at 17:49, and Milan Hajduk scores his 10th at 18:54 to make it a one-goal game. You have to give the Avalanche credit on this one. They were outshot. The Avalanche were outshot 39-24, never led in this game, so it didn't feel like that great of a game. But I don't know, pretty good comeback, and the Avalanche are getting known for that. They don't pack it in. So that was cool, except for the loss. Avalanche lose December 4th against the Lightning, 6-5. Breezing through these games. Tuesday, December 20th, game number 27th. Tuesday, December 7th, the Avalanche lose in overtime against the Panthers, 4-3. This one wasn't on TV, so all we got was in-house video highlights, which were kind of whack. But let's see, what else big? And the Avalanche have lost at this point 3 of the last 4 in overtime. And the thing that kind of rough about this, they feel like losses because the Avalanche really couldn't even create any scoring chances within those overtimes. So that was kind of the rough thing. So Kevin Shattenkirk's point streak in this one came to an end at 9 straight games. Not bad for a rookie, huh? What's he doing all over the league, James? Go ahead and finish that one off for me.
He's shatting all over the league.
He's shatting all over.
It's the classic. I've seen a couple of games of his in Boston. If he would score, the whole crowd would chant, "You got shat on." And I'm glad it's picking up a little bit here. I'm glad fans are liking that.
Yeah, he is shatting all over the league. That's awesome.
This game for the Panthers also was supposedly they were having a kind of a yarmulke giveaway night, and like a Panthers yarmulke. And apparently
really?
It was only to like, yeah, it was apparently like just to groups of Jewish fans. And that was it.
Are you serious?
I'm not even making this up. This was on awesome. Puck Daddy. Yeah, they were sweet. Panthers yarmulkes with the Panthers logo on it.
Who wouldn't want to rock a Panther yarmulke? Are you kidding me?
No, absolutely. But they only gave them out to a few fans here and there. And I guess it was kind of a bit of a botched promotion overall.
Sounds like
you
it.
Know, but that's, you know, that's the Panthers organization these days.
Oh, they're so fan friendly. All right. Well, come on, come all. Happy Hanukkah to those listeners out there, by the way. My dad's half of the family is Jewish.
Which is so over, by the way.
There it is. Oh, yeah, it is. Hope your Hanukkah went well, everyone. Thanks, James. So there was also some whispers that there was going to be some throwback jerseys. This was the 96 throwback night. Joe Sakic was in the house. Brian Skrudlin, the captain of the Panthers from back in the 95-96 Stanley Cup Finals. No throwback jerseys or else I would be in trouble. All right, game number 28, Friday, December 10th at Atlanta. The Avalanche win this one 4-2. This was the end of the road trip. The Avalanche had lost 3 of 4 in overtime, 4 of 4 overall, I guess, if you want to look at it this way, and everybody starts to get all pessimistic, including Adrian Dater, if you can believe that, James. The Thrashers shocking. Start the scoring. Yeah, Nicholas Bergfors with his 7th in the first period. In the second period, the Avalanche take the lead. Tomas Fleischmann, his first goal in an Avalanche uniform, his 5th on the power play, his 5th of the season on the power play for Matt Duchene. Greg Maldon, his 4th, shorthanded, unassisted. What a great play by him. Steals the puck from Dustin Byfuglien and scores to give the Avalanche a 2-1 lead in the second. Ryan Little then scores his 6th in the second period to tie it up at 2. And then in the third period on a beautiful goal, Milan Hajduk from Tomas Fleischmann and Matt Duchene hit Hajduk's 11th at 42 seconds. Milan Hajduk, 31 points in 28 games. This is the best start of his career. People who thought he was done and said maybe he should retire, I don't know. A lot of people at the beginning of the year very worried about Milan Hajduk and how he wasn't fitting in, but it's been kind of quiet about that stuff lately. Paul Stastny, then an empty netter, 11th of this season, unassisted. The Avalanche score 2 shorthanded goals, which Stastny's was a shorthander as well, and a power play goal in this game. That'll win you a lot of games in the NHL. I forgot to mention John Michael Lyles, I believe, in this game. Did he have any points? Maybe it was the game before. Takes over as the leading scoring defenseman in Avalanche history. Already. He hasn't been around that long. Adam Foote is 2nd and Sandis Ozolinch is 3rd. Congratulations to John Michael Lyles. Great season he's been having so far. All right, game number 29, last game that we'll cover, Saturday, December 11th. The Avalanche win this one at Washington against the Capitals, 3-2. Altitude's classic game was Patrick Waugh's win to pass Terry Sawchuk. Good times, good memories. A Ray Bourque shot from the point tipped in by Peter Forsberg. Oh, we miss those names, don't we? That's why we don't go to the games anymore, right?
Yeah.
Milan Hayduk out because of a groin in this one. Kevin Shattenkirk, his fifth at 214. Mike Knubel, his sixth at 945. Ryan Wilson, his first of the season from Paul Stastny and Kevin Porter at 1839. The Avalanche lead 2-1. Then Alex Semin gets tossed out of the game for cross-checking John Michael Lyles in the back of the head. There goes his Lady Bing nomination. That wasn't cool. Lyles made it look pretty good. James and I talked a little bit about this off air, but that wasn't cool by him. James, any thoughts, any further thoughts on Alex Semin?
You know what? The guy has not had a full NHL season. He's gotten a one-year contract re-signing. I don't even think the Caps are completely 100% sold on the guy, but that's just, you know, it was a cheap shot. It shouldn't have happened. He got ejected, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got one game for it. I think that's fine. You know, they'll probably send the message. And that's pretty much all I think they need to do. If he gets absolutely no games, I'll be surprised. But a one-game suspension would probably be enough to really send the message that, hey, that was uncool. And he really cost the team a good chance of winning the game. And if his teammates don't let him know that in a subtle way, I would be highly surprised.
Yeah, the league's really trying to get control of the headshots and everything like that, and cross checks to the back of people's heads definitely aren't cool. He did hurt his team, and that's kind of a selfish move by him. He was a little frustrated at the time. I like how he cross checks the guy in the back of the head, and then, you know, the official points at him and says, "You're going to the box," or, you know, you're out of here. And he kind of looks at him like, "What'd I do?" You know, it's the cross checks to the face and the high sticks. That's the easiest call in hockey. I mean, everybody can make that call. I like how the fans boo when that happens, but the Capitals fans, I give them credit, and I'm trying to come up with a better way to describe kind of the feel I get from them, but it kind of just strikes me as a minor league crowd, and I don't mean that in a terrible way, but, you know, they announce the Avalanche goals, and then the whole crowd goes, "Who cares?" You know, and it's every time there's an offsides call or a penalty against their team, or the puck hits the official, or what, you know, they're all over the official. So it's almost like they hate the officials, you know. What else? "Ref, you suck," or something. "You suck, ref," or whatever chant they start. It almost seems like they hate the referees more than they love their home team at times. And I can't respect that, really.
It's definitely an emerging culture there in Washington, because, you know, there was years when nobody wanted to show up and nobody was there. And you know, you don't rebuild with the same old people over and over and over. You know, you rebuild a fan base with new fans.
Yeah, good point.
And so I think it is an emerging hockey culture that you know is kind of rebuilding itself. You know, maybe we can maybe sometime I can ask a few of the Capitals bloggers that I know that are, you know, in the press box about that and see what they have.
That'd be
to
cool.
Say,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to get their perspective.
I'm not trying to rag on them. They're there and they're supporting their team. You have to respect that. But at times it just seemed like a little bit much. But that's how it goes. You know. Let's see. Paul Stastny, his 12th of the season on the power play from Kevin Shattenkirk. What a beautiful pass by Shattenkirk last night on this goal. That was also from Daniel for the Winnick at 9:53. I got both of our nicknames in. You like that?
Very well done.
Sweet. Our old buddy Matt Hendricks scores a power play goal, his fourth of the season at 4:30 of the third period to get the Caps within one goal. And Peter McNabb brings up a good point. He says Hendricks is on the power play because Semin got tossed. But he does come through against his old team, and that's pretty cool. But the Avalanche hold on. Kevin Shattenkirk, a goal and assist. Paul Stastny, a goal and two assists. Ryan Wilson, the star of the game, I think, in my eyes. He sat he was a healthy scratch for four straight games before this. He had a goal. He was +2, two shots, two block shots, and five hits, and almost one where he might have killed Alex Ovechkin if he would have caught him with it. He got a little of him, then he smashed into the boards. But a really, really good comeback game for Ryan Wilson. You know, he was known originally for his big hits, and it's good to see that back, because I think that's what people have really been missing. It's easy to forgive him for a bad defensive play or two if he drops a guy or two from the opposition, and man, you got to give Ovechkin credit because he saw this coming just in time, or else I don't know what would have happened. But an outstanding comeback game for Ryan Wilson. I think he got out of a few people's doghouses with this one. Last night, Saturday, December 11th at Washington, the Avalanche win this one 3-2. All right, really quickly, standings, 15-10-4 for the Avalanche so far this season. They're tied for first with Vancouver in the Northwest Division in points, but Vancouver also has two games in hand, whatever. There's nine teams in the West right now that have 33 or 34 points, just like the NHL likes it. So a lot of parity. It's going to be interesting to see how this season rolls on. I'm still fairly early. We're not even halfway through, but a big logjam, obviously, like I said. So, all right, here's your upcoming game. Some interesting scheduling coming up. Monday, December 13th, the Avalanche will play the Blackhawks at Pepsi Center at 7 p.m. Mountain. Wednesday, December 15th, the Avalanche will complete a home-and-home with the Blackhawks. They'll play at the United Center. That's right, right, James? United Center?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
6:30 Mountain on that one. And then here comes some points because the Avalanche have a five-game home streak. Then they play two games on the road. Then they have another five-game home streak, and then they play two games on the road. And then they have another five-game home streak. That's 15 of 19 at home, and then 18 of the next 24 total at home, starting with tomorrow's game, Monday, December 13th. The Avalanche will play December 17th against the Senators at 7, December 19th, the Sunday, against the Canadiens at 6 p.m., December 21st against the Kings at 7:30 p.m., Thursday the 23rd against the Wild at 7, Monday, December 27th against the Red Wings at 7. Those are all home games. And then two road games, December 30th against the Oilers at 7:30 and December 31st against the Flames. We should have another show coming at you right around New Year's weekend, right around in there. We'll see. It should be about 3 or 4 weeks. And then the Avalanche start a second five-game home streak on January 2nd. They'll play at home against the Canucks, Sabres, Coyotes, Islanders, and Red Wings. So a lot of chance. This is a great stretch for them. They're even at home during the holidays. You never know how that might affect a team, and we'll see how that goes. So hopefully a lot of chances to get some points. James, you ready for the outro?
Barely, but I'll see what I can do this time. I think I don't think I did a great job last time. We'll see if I can.
You were great last time. Do you need a second to kind of collect your thoughts or anything? James is going to tell you where to find us on the internet. He's going to cover Facebook and Twitter. And James, you got it. I'm telling you, you're my partner. I got faith in you, man.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com, where you can find all the past shows of recent vintage, and also a bunch of Jay's jerseys. He keeps putting them up there. You can probably also find video of him on TV clapping for the Avs as they score against Carolina. You can also find a link to Jay's Facebook fan page, where, of course, you know, there's a lot more chat. And also Jay is on Twitter at Avs Hockey Podcast. That's AVSHKY Podcast. That's pretty much everything. I, of course, am on Twitter at TapeLeg, TAPELEG, and my blog is at jerseysandhockeylove.com.
Cool. Thanks, James. That was good. You feel good about that one?
It was a little better.
That's good. All right. Quick shout-outs. We can't go any further without a 21st birthday shout-out for Eric Sylvester, University of Northern Iowa. Loyal listener, always with a lot of great insight on Twitter. So, Eric, happy birthday, man. Also, a big shout-out to Garrett Knapp in Wilmington, North Carolina. That's my man. I go see him whenever I get the chance. Whenever the Avs are in town, we've made it a tradition to get together out there and go watch the Avalanche play at the RBC Center. And hopefully there's many more years of doing that. Garrett, thanks for everything, man. I appreciate it. Also, I just wanted to wish everybody, no matter what you celebrate, a happy holidays from all of us here at the Avs Hockey Podcast. I like saying all of us because it's just you and me, James.
Just you and me.
All right. That's about it for episode number 59 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Your home for almost everything Avalanche. The Philippe Dupuis edition of the show.
Yeah,
that's right. James, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, take care. Happy holidays from all of us, like I said, here at the Avs Hockey Podcast. And until we talk again in about 3 or 4 weeks, take care. Let's go Avs.
Go Avs.
We will see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.